All right, April 15th, that's the first tax deadline, so to speak, unless you pay quarterlies. Then there's December 31st, the other important deadline, because there are all kinds of things that you can do right now and only right now before the year runs out that can save you some money come the April deadline. Joe Rosnai is the CPA and partner at McNeil Silver & Company in Skokie. And if you've got any questions about your taxes, considering all the other fun topics we've been talking about today, this is kind of a downer, but dang it, it is important. Things you can do right now to lower your 2013 taxes that you will pay next year, you call our number, 312-981-7200. Hi, Joe. Good to see you again. It's getting to be a regular with you here in the Allstate Showcase studio.
It's good to be here, Bill.
What are the things that we can all do before midnight, December 31st, that'll make life a little easier, maybe a little better for us come April 15th?
There's actually a whole bunch of things, and some of them are things that we do all the time anyway. You get the phone call that says, hey, you know, will you have anything to pick up for the thrift store from whichever charities are doing the used clothes? Empty the closets. Clear out those things that you don't wear anymore, that don't fit anymore.
But you have to what? Itemize them?
You list them off, and you put a value on them.
How do you know?
A thrift store value.
How do you judge that?
If you're not really sure, think something more than garage sales, or go to your local Goodwill or some other thrift store and see what they're selling that shirt for.
Yeah, by the way, I've popped in our local Goodwill. There's a new one in Westmont, and you might be surprised. They've got some good things there.
There's some good things there, and what used to be maybe a dollar for a shirt might be $2 or $3 or $4.
Still
now.
A deal.
And if you make a good list of what you're stuffing in those bags, it could be a nice deduction.
So
for
is
you.
It an automatic deduction if you've got those numbers to turn in, or do you have to hit a certain threshold of what, income or something?
If you're itemizing your deductions already, you're adding right on to it. So your typical individual that might be in rent, doesn't pay a lot in state income taxes, doesn't have a lot of medical, probably wouldn't benefit from that. But the individual that owns a home, has home mortgage interest, real estate taxes, that pretty much gets you to that threshold right away. So everything after that is gravy.
What's bottom line as to whether to itemize or not?
Whether you have enough. You get a standard deduction. You get a few thousand dollars for free. You get to deduct that unless your actual deductions are higher. And the trick is getting your deductions so that they're higher. Some people will stack their charitable contributions so that if they aren't otherwise itemizing, they would itemize every other year.
Perhaps. We've got some people who've called 312-981-7200 for Joe Rosnai, and they have some questions for you. Let's start off with our first caller, who's Linda. Hi, Linda. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you. I love your show. It's the first time I caught it, and I just love it.
Oh, how sweet of you. Thanks. I hope you become a regular.
Thank you. I hope to.
Okay. What's the question?
My question is, how much of a gift, monetary, can we give a child? Is it $10,000 a year or $13,000?
Well, what used to be $10,000 and $13,000 this year and next year is $14,000.
$14,000
from you, $14,000 from your spouse to each of the kids that you have.
So that's very important, by the way, Linda, for grandparents to be aware of, because you can give that tax-free every year.
Yes, you can.
Right, right. And they will not have to pay a tax on that, correct?
Not at all.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Linda. Good to have you aboard.
Sure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think a lot of grandparents don't realize that, that if you want to give your kid a gift and you're in your 70s or 80s and you've got a lot of wealth, you could start that process going and avoid paying the taxes, because cumulatively, $14,000 year after year after year can add up to some serious money.
It absolutely can. And one of the concerns that we all have when we're raising our kids is having enough money for their college. And the other concern that we get on the other side, the grandparents or the parents, is that when I give my 8-year-old or 18-year-old, for that matter, $14,000, where is it going to be when they're ready for college? The grandparents or the parents can put money in 529 plans, prepaid college tuition plans, and keep the control over the money, keep the money away from the kids, and have it be there when it's time for college.
Every year the tax code is changing, and it's hard to keep up year by year. That's why we pay smart guys like Joe Rosnai to figure out some of the changes. And Dave, you've got a question about an interesting item that's taxed. Go ahead. You're on WGN.
Yeah, I was wondering if prizes from radio stations are considered gifts or taxable income.
Oh, that Lou Malnati's, that's not that much. Just $25.
Yeah, well, who knows how much, you know, with the if they would consider that, you know, income or just a, like I say, I've got a low income disability, but it is, I just figure maybe I've, just in case, you know, forgive me my paranoia for I know
well,
what I do.
You're an honest guy, so help Dave out there, Joe.
Regrettably, the answer is yes, they are, even the $25 prize. Now, let's not talk about who actually claims those when they do their tax returns, but if
but
you
the
get
law
a,
is you're
the
supposed
law
to...
is income from whatever source is taxable. It's not a gift. It's not given away from.
But
the...
is there a different tax? Like somebody goes on, let's make a deal and wins a new car. Don't they pay a particularly high tax in that
They pay particularly high because they're getting a particularly high level of income. And very often, especially when you're talking about some of these five and six-digit prizes, they get right up into that top 39.6% tax bracket, so they're paying a fair amount of tax on that money.
Dave, are you actually going to declare your radio winnings?
Well, I'm going to have it totaled down. I'll give that to my tax preparer, and, you know, they'll do what voodoo they do so well.
I hope you enjoyed your pizza. I don't know
nicely
what he
put.
Won, but that's interesting. Naomi, you're next on WGN. Go ahead. You're on.
Hi. Thank you. I'm a self-employed. I want to know what can I deduct from my taxes.
Oh, that's a very, very broad question. You really have to answer the question for each thing that you spend. Is it actually related to my business, or would I have spent this whether I had the business or not? So when you drive your car to business appointments and the like, those types of deductions are, or those kind of expenses are deductible. When you take clients to dinner, those are deductible. If you discuss business while you're on those appointments.
Sometimes it's kind of fuzzy because it can be both categories. You're making a trip, a business trip, and you go to the grocery store on the same trip. What is it? It's both.
You go back to the primary purpose of the trip. If your primary purpose was the business appointment, you happen to stop at the grocery store, yeah, there's a personal element, but the primary purpose was the business event.
Yeah. Naomi, thanks so much. Nino, hi, you're on WGN.
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, my wife and I, we had two residences, one in Chicago and one in Indiana. We recently sold our Chicago home, and my wife has taken Indiana residency, and I had to take an apartment in Chicago because of business issues to be licensed and things of that nature. So what I'm wondering is, do we have to file two separate tax returns now?
The answer federally is no. Because your federal taxes are your federal taxes. You do married filing joint, I'm presuming.
And
you just do that fine. When you get down to the state filings, however, you should each file a separate state return, you for yours and she for hers, and Illinois gets theirs and Indiana gets theirs.
My question, Nino, is why is your second home in Indiana and not in Phoenix?
Oh, I don't know. We've always been by the lakeshore. You know, it was always a getaway place, and it's just a situation that's the way it is. Maybe someday it can be in Phoenix, though.
All right. You know, thanks for your call. Let's start with some texts I got. Person makes $90,000 a year. What's the limit on cash donations and material donations?
Well, cash and material are limited to 50% of your adjusted gross income. And so if $90,000 is all you got, then it's 50% of that is as much as you give away for charity.
That's straightforward. How about an insurance company payment? This person got it and was bitten by somebody else's dog. Is there a tax on that?
There's no tax to the extent it's medical in nature, the medical reimbursements. And there are some limits on the proverbial pain and suffering. There's more facts we'd have to know for that one.
What's the self-employment tax? Asks another texter.
Self-employment tax is what you pay when you are both the employer and the employee. It's Social Security tax and Medicare tax.
Is it a rate or a fluctuating line?
Basically, when you're an employee, you pay half the Social Security and half the Medicare.
And being self-employed, I can tell you. It's
exactly.
A darn big tax.
You pay about 7.5 as an employee. You pay 15.3 when you're an employer and an employee.
Tony, you're on WGN. Go ahead.
How you doing, guys? Quick question. My buddy works for a home building company. He does construction, kind of, and he buys a lot of shoes, and he just went out and bought a bunch of winter work gear, overalls, pants, shoes, and I asked him if he could write it off, and he said, or get reimbursed. His company doesn't reimburse him. Is there a way you can write off any of that for work? Or?
Well, the trick there is, I'm assuming he's an employee, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, as an employee, you're somewhat limited because, you can take employee business expense, but by the time you get done with all the limitations, most people don't have anything left.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, thank you.
All right, Tony. Hey, Mary, go ahead. You're on WGN.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if for 2014 there's any chance that the IRS is going to extend the ruling where you don't have to pay income tax on the amount of money you lose when you're foreclosed on your home. Say, for instance, you owe a bank $300,000 on a mortgage and your house is foreclosed on.
Well, one of the things
you have to pay taxes on that money if it didn't happen in 2013.
One of the things you didn't say there is what was the value of the house that you lost at the time?
The value is around $300,000. It's about what we owe on the house.
Then it's really not any different than if you sold the house for $300,000. No gain, no loss, no tax.
A wash. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Glad to make your day.
Bye-bye.
Joe, any tricks to cut taxes? I know one that you've recommended is to make your January mortgage payment in December. Anything else like that?
Oh, yeah. That's one of the easiest ones to do because it's only a week or two different than what you would have paid it. Prepaying your real estate taxes, which Cook County is very happy to do. There's a process if you go to the Cook County assessors. Many of the other counties in Illinois allow
pay
that.
Pay maybe half your...
You prepay the first installment that's usually due in March. You pay it now instead.
And what does that do for you?
And so you're bunching your deductions. And when you bunch your deductions, you get more benefit in the current year.
And we don't know if the tax rates on any of these things will be going up.
We don't know what the tax rate's going to be next year. We don't know. Some of us know that we're going to get big bonuses next year, and those people might want to wait on those deductions.
Yeah. Fran, welcome to WGN. What's your question?
My question is, if you have a Freddie Mae mortgage and you surrender your deed in lieu of foreclosure, do you have to pay any taxes on that? My house was worth about $70,000, and my mortgage was about $70,000.
Well, just like the earlier caller, it's very similar to as if you sold your house for the $70,000, and you said it was worth
$70,000. Right.
What did you pay for it?
Paid $92,500 for it.
So you paid $92,500 for it. So you have a loss that's regrettably not deductible.
That loss isn't. Could you answer this, too? They sent me $3,000 for relocation expenses. Is that deductible?
Who's they?
I would think that came from Fannie Mae from the government. I don't think it came from my mortgage holder.
Yeah. I would need a lot more facts to answer that, right?
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Fran. Hey, Sandy, you're next.
Hi,
go ahead.
How are you?
We're great.
My mom sold her home this year. She's it's her only home. So senior citizen, no income except for Social Security. Is she required to pay any? She can take the one-time homeowner's tax exemption, correct?
Well, the one-time homeowner's exemption got replaced by, I think it was Mr. Clinton. He replaced it with a $250,000 exclusion of gain.
Okay. So that means?
Okay.
So the gain is what she sold it for minus what she paid for it.
Okay.
You said just your mom, not your parents, so I'm assuming she's alone.
Right.
So she can exclude the first $250,000 of gain on that sale.
Okay. Now, from what I understand, and I hadn't verified this yet by the person who prepared her taxes, that they said her income was so low she didn't have to file income tax. That was prior to the sale of the house. When you sell a house, do you still – I've never heard that nobody has to not file income tax.
Well, you don't have to file if your income is below certain thresholds. Her gross income, because of the proceeds on the house sale, would be higher. But if the gross proceeds on selling her house was less than $250,000, we're back to she probably doesn't have to file.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, it was. So she probably doesn't have to file this year then.
All right, Sandy. Yeah, good.
Okay, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks
to
her. You're a smart guy. Where'd you go to school, Joe?
I went to DePaul many times.
studied what? Finance?
Studied accounting and taxes. That was the right place to go.
John's on WGN. He's also got a question about moving expenses. Go ahead, John.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Groovy.
Good, good. Kind of a little bit complication. I'm part owner in a business. Also, I'm an employee of another profession. Okay. My question is, I'm moving back to Pennsylvania just for a short time, and then I'm moving to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a big move. It's
Joe isn't even taking notes. Are you keeping track of all this?
Go ahead.
All right. Continue, John.
My question is this. How much of that can I take for moving expenses? And if I leave December 31st, can I take the whole move for this year, even if it's going to take me about a 3 or 4 day drive?
The moving expenses that are deductible for everything moving yourself and moving your stuff.
Right.
Any temporary living expense, the hotel that you're going to be staying in a couple of times on your way to your new home will not be deductible. The food you eat on the way will not be deductible. But the cost of moving your stuff, which apparently sounds like it's going to be moving miles.
Yes.
Add up all your miles times, I think the current number is 13 cents a mile.
But if all these expenses are part of a move that goes into two different tax years, how does he break that down?
It's just as deductible as paid. As paid, okay. As incurred. So some portion is going to be deductible in 2013. The rest of it will be deductible in 2014. You said you're moving to Pennsylvania and then later to Vegas.
Well, I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm out here on a job. My job finishes. I'm going back to Pennsylvania for a couple of weeks to get fixed up.
We're getting kind of lost in the weeds here, but the big main point is that when you make the payment on whatever part of the move you're making, it's in that taxable year.
It's in the taxable year where you're spending it.
All right. John, thanks. Diana, well, you're on WGN. What's your question on gift taxes?
Yeah, hi. We give checks during the year to our adult daughter to help her out financially. Is this considered a gift tax, and how does that work?
Those are absolutely all gifts. The first $14,000 of gifts that you give her, and I say 14, you said we, so I'm assuming there's a mister involved, your hubby.
Yeah.
So that's $14,000 each that you can give her without any gift tax repercussions, of $14,000 excludable for each of you. So that's $28,000 a year that you can give without any impact. If you go over that amount, we still have the $5.25 million lifetime exclusion, but you'd have to file a gift tax return to start claiming that.
Diane, thanks for your call. Joe is among the CPAs at Michael Silver & Company on Old Orchard Road in Skokie. MSCO.net is the website?
Yes, it is.
All right, and ask for Joe, because he's a smart guy. Joe, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Bill.